Rafael Pena is here this morning. He's the city council member for single member District 2. And Brian, good morning, councilman. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is your second visit. One was right after you got elected, but now you've been in the chair for a little while and sat through lots of meetings and hearings and stuff like that. So kind of give me your overall perspective. How you feeling right now about where the city is?
Well, I definitely think it's a learning curve, and I'm glad that I get to experience this. I'm very humble, and I'm going to continue learning. I know a lot more from the day I was elected until now. And the direction the city is going, I think it's going to go in a great direction. We're moving forward. A lot of things coming to play, and I think a lot of things at Tuesday's council that we could probably elaborate more on and just give the public some more information.
I'd like to, I mean, obviously, every member of council who comes on is elected has things that they want to get accomplished, and I know that you're no different than that. So let's talk about what you want as one member of council as far as accomplishments and how the city is moving forward on the things that are important to you.
Well, I think we took a step in the right direction when we passed some of the agenda items that me and Al submitted, and that being the reopen the pool at Sadie Thomas and added a nature trail on with 17th Street and MLK. But I don't think the strides that are being met to still bring the Districts 1 and 2 to level standards the rest of the city's on, and primarily being O'Hearn Road, that's a major thoroughfare, and it's not slated to be done until another 5 years. And I think widening that to a two-lane and having sidewalks on the deep gullies is very important, and we haven't taken that stride yet. But hopefully, when I did mention that, we tabled it for the first stance, and I think that's going to be happening in October. So hopefully we'll have that discussion, and maybe something will come of it. So I'm hoping that that will still come to play. And not only the street of O'Hearn Road, but also the parks. And I know before, the funding for the park was cut by like $250,000, but we just restored that funding, and that's major that we upgrade our city parks to the level that we know it can be and the level it should be.
Do you think that was because of something that you did?
Absolutely, because I've never heard anybody bring it up before, and since I've been on council, I've brought it up, and I've actually attended every meeting that the Park and Rec Board has, and I come with a group of the citizens from my district, and we advocate changes in our city parks because, as it is, it's very they're terrible. And not only that, we also like to listen to the Little League people, and they say they're the ones who I just learned this, they're the one who maintain the park that they use. And I was like, wow, that's not too fair. And more than that, not even everybody. If me and you wanted to go and kick around a ball at BRAC, we couldn't because we don't have insurance. And I think that definitely is a little restrictive in our parks. And if someone wants to practice how to play soccer, I think we should let them. And because we don't have insurance, we shouldn't. I don't think that's right.
And all right. Well, so you give me a couple of things I want to talk about. Let's go back for a minute to O'Hearn Road and sidewalks. Now, do you have the proper right-of-way to be able to put those in?
Like any project coming in, you have to acquire that right-of-way. So I know it's going to take time. But let's start taking the steps now into acquiring that right away so that we can put these improvements in, because right now we're not.
Okay, if you were surprised to find out that, number one, the Little League has to take care of their field, and number two, that if we wanted to go kick a ball at BRAC, we can't. So what steps have you taken to see what can be done about that?
I actually put it on executive session last council to see if we can look into changing maybe having a waiver or adding some signage that says play at your own risk so that the city doesn't assume liability. And from what I understand from our city attorney, that can't happen. And on for the that's for the insurance part.
Mm-hmm.
And my second point,
we've talked about the right-of-way, we talked about that, and then Little League also.
Oh, yeah. So adding that $250,000 to the parks was actually very crucial, and I think that and the maintenance on King, I think it's going to definitely change that. I don't know how much, and I guess we'll see this next year coming up, but I think that was a good step in the right direction for that one.
Rafael Pena joining us this morning. He's a single member District 2 for the city of Bryan. What are you doing to increase participation in your district? Because so folks will understand, I mean, there were 339 votes that were cast in single-member District 2.
Mm-hmm.
By comparison, single-member District 3, there were 3,800. That's 10 times as much. So I understand that you want to champion causes, but I'm not seeing that necessarily the voters within single-member District 2 have been clamoring for anything to happen. They don't even come out and vote. So what are you doing there?
Well, I think the reason why we had such a low turnout in voting, and just to put it in perspective, I think they're still both low percentages of the total number of registered voters.
Sure.
And I think it's because of the previous representation on council, to be honest. They don't feel like they're being heard, and I was fighting that when I got elected, and I had to really go out. And now I can guarantee that in my next election, it would be a lot more than 319.
Well, what are you doing for outreach as far as getting people involved besides them going to Parks and Rec meetings, for instance?
Well, I have a town hall meeting every month, and it's at the African American Museum. My next town hall meeting is going to be on the 25th of this month from 6 to 8. And that's where I encourage the community to come out and get involved, because I have the applications for the boards and commissions. I tell them, hey, these positions we need you on, and I also remind them if there's any public service announcements I have to announce, that residents want me or the city wants me to say, I'll say them. And it's really a hub for the community to come together and build that transparency between the city and its people and getting them more informed, because a lot of people don't know a lot of things. And just by coming to the town hall meeting, you become very educated. And not only educated, but if there's something, an issue affecting your neighborhood, you can address that to me, and I will make sure that it gets addressed, and so that we can solve the issue.
Okay. Kind of in the opening statement that you made, or while you were talking about the overview, you said you were not necessarily pleased with the development. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but basically you were not pleased with the level of development within single-member District 2. Where do you think the city has been failing the residents of single-member District 2?
I would say, District 2 primarily as a whole, because we have a lot of streets without sidewalks on both sides of the street. We have a lot of streets that have potholes that are in terrible condition, and we don't have any of that major infrastructure coming in, and we still have sewer backs up in our district. I'm not seeing the improvements in our infrastructure to really bring in the growth that I know it can and see. And we have new businesses opening up. We just had Peppers open up on 21. Rodriguez Tires is coming in. So I know the growth is there. We just have to take a chance and invest in districts too, like we've invested and like how we just invested in TERS 10.
Well, what are you hearing when you go to development people of the city of Bryan when it has to do with infrastructure or improvements in existing things in your district?
They say you can definitely tell the difference between District 2 and the rest of districts in the city, and meaning that you can tell that it's not being well maintained. It's just a clear clear lack of infrastructure improvements and a clear lack of maintenance in the roads and our street lights. They're small improvements, but that's just it. They're small improvements. They're not any major improvements, and that's what we need.
Okay. Well, I think, again, let's talk about TERS 10 then. This is something you voted against?
Absolutely.
Okay. And tell me why.
Well, because I feel like there's a lot of misinformation put out there, and I wanted the TERS 10 to be ended, the debt be paid off early, because we're in a unique position right now that is operating in the green for it to pay off the debt early. And so that's why I want to do it. And the council didn't want to let me do it. But
okay, now why? Well, go on. Explain a little more then. Why is it that you thought that the TERS needed to be paid off faster?
Well, because when this TERS started, it started with a $17 million bond. That was not approved by the voters. It was approved by council, which is okay. That's the way the city works. And there's about $9 million left on it right now. And I feel that we should pay that $9 million off if we can afford to pay the developer in excess of $1 million every year forward, and the first payment of $900,000 coming in fiscal year 16, which is next October.
But in many ways, there's the theory that government doesn't work like you and I do. You and I ideally don't want to be in debt, don't want to take on more debt. But cities, governmental entities, cities, states, counties, always have a certain amount of debt. They always will have debt. Now, what you need to do is have something that's going to pay that debt off over time. But paying the debt off faster doesn't necessarily solve a problem.
It brings the taxes going to be generated faster to the tax rolls to increase the tax base. And when we do that, we also save money from the interest payments that we would have to go out for and spend these X amount. We did the entire 2025. And we're not talking about 20 years early. We're just talking about a few years early then, because it's already been there for so many years.
Okay. The golf course, there's been a lot of talk about the municipal golf course. As one member of council, I'd like to get your thoughts on what you think should happen to that area.
Well, I definitely think that this being a hot button issue should be left in the voters' hands and then decide. And from what I understand, and from many emails, from many phone calls, from many meetings that I've set up, they don't want the municipal golf course to change. So I got my marching orders, and I will never vote to change the municipal golf course from a municipal golf course to a super park, especially.
Okay. Well, okay, let's talk super park, because that phrase came out. Do you believe that there should be one centralized? And I understand you said parks need to be upgraded in your district, and that's certainly fair. But what is your feeling as one member of council on having a very large facility that would have multiple playing fields, or for lack of a better term, because it's being used to super park?
I think that's a great idea. And I don't think municipal golf course is the location, but the location I do think, which happens to be in District 2, is BRAC. And we actually have a lot of services out there already. And I just want to bring BRAC to the level playing field as Veterans Park, because I know we can be competitive in the market for the out-of-towner tournaments to come to Bryan. And just by upgrading BRAC, I think we can get on the same level as College Station and Veterans Field and Veterans Park.
Rafael Pena is here this morning, single-member District 2 Bryan Council. Yesterday, Chuck Condrilla was on, and he spoke to the charter question that, let's call it the ethics amendment, for lack of a better all-encompassing statement. Okay. As one member of council, what's your feeling there?
I felt that Chuck's comments were very misleading, because the charter, as it's written, does not say any employees will be fired. And if any employee is to be fired, it is because the majority on council interpreted that to be. The way the city can interpret is to grandfather in all the employees who are related to the third degree of consanguinity or affinity. Mm-hmm. And to use as a reference, Scott, the previous charter amendment that was passed by voters that allowed any two city council members to put any item on the agenda, the first point of that was the city council shall identify items to place on the city council meeting agenda and shall establish the order of the agenda. Now, the majority on council has interpreted that to be just two people, the city manager and the mayor, because not once have I been on council and actually participated or voted in the order of agenda items.
So you're saying that they're not following the letter of that, the idea that it should be two members of council rather than have the city manager and one member of council? Is that what you were saying to me?
I'm saying that it can be interpreted. This is the way they're interpreting it to be.
Okay.
So I know that we can interpret this new charter to include and grandfather any employee of the city of Bryan and BTU.
Certainly.
So that no one will lose their job. And if someone does, that will not be my vote.
Okay. You have been, so everybody understands, I am on the board of directors of the Downtown Bryan Association. I know that you have been critical of the DBA. What are your concerns there?
My concerns is that I would like for the DBA, in the event of Texas Reds, I think it should definitely be held responsible to a standard that other nonprofits are held to, and that being that grant application process, because I know it's a huge success, and it actually monitors the heads and beds that it's promoting. So it actually has a system where it calls the hotel, and it actually checks who spent what and how many nights. And so by me recommending that the event Texas Reds go to that grant application process, I see that it's a responsible spending, and it's actually being spent on what it says being spent. It's actually producing on what it's going to actually produce.
And that standard is upheld by the Bryan Blues Festival and Fiestas Patrias?
From what I understand, I don't believe so.
Well, then why are you not asking the same of those two organizations?
Because again, it's a learning experience, Scott, and I haven't actually looked into those. And then, so I am slowly looking into all.
So why are we starting with DBA?
Because I've heard on the campaign trail that it's losing so much money, and because of those talks, and that's what kind of got me ahead of the group, so to speak.
Have you met with the executive director of DBA or executive committee?
I met with Shannon Overby.
No, I'm talking about that's one member of the board. Have you talked to the executive council of the DBA board, or have you talked to the executive director of the DBA board?
Can you give me the names?
Well, Sandy Ferris is the executive director.
I did speak with Sandy Ferris.
Okay, and what did you find out about the organization from her?
Sandy Ferris was really detailing the work that she does and I guess how she delegates and the level of things that go into promoting. And then, and I was like, that's, you know, that's a very valid and fair point. And then what I was coming from was the salaries being paid by hot funds. I don't know necessarily if I agree with salaries being paid for. And more so, I don't know if I agree with when Sandy Ferris came in, the salary for that position almost doubled. And I don't know if the if that much more work is being done to promote it to account for her salary being doubled. And so I just don't know if salaries should be paid, and if they are going to be paid, I don't know if it should be that much. And again, responsible spending and making sure that it's held accountable.
Okay. Well, I'm in a little unusual situation because I'm on the board, and I don't necessarily want to comment on that, but I think the scope of what the job is probably has changed from what it was before. But will you ask of the same things of Fiestas Patrias and the Blues Festival, and when will you ask for them?
Well, like everything, things take time, and there's so many things that are going on in the city right now. And again, that was the first one that came to mind, so that's the one that people have actually told me about. And I'm not trying to lead a crusade or anything like that, so I'm not going to just, you know, be real anal about these and go forward. So nowhere in the near future, but I will take a look at it, and I will decide. And when it's usually when someone comes tells me about it, that's what makes me spearhead it, because I am a representative of the people. And if they come to me and it's the issue to them, then okay, then let's talk about it.
Sure. Anything we haven't covered that you would like to talk about?
Yes, sir. We did cover the employee thing, but Scott, you asked a good question yesterday. If the town center developer is under the same umbrella as the hotel developer. Chuck's answer was very misleading. The president of the Atlas, which is the hotel developer, and the president of TAP, of the town center developer, is Spencer Clemens, and he's one of the same. So he's president of both entities. Although they're separate entities, he's the same guy. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Sure.
And then I also clarified the charter amendment. And now Chuck also said that taxpayers wouldn't write a check for a dime. Actually, Scott, a check will be written in the amount of fiscal year 16, $900,000, and $1.2 million to FY17, and so on and so forth. And the valuations won't be until January 1 of 19.
All right. Who are those checks written to?
They're reimbursement to the developer for actually spending the money, but it's a reimbursement. It's not a contract based on performance. There's three separate contracts, and the one that's based on performance is the hot funding, and that $2.25 million, that has to be actually built, because there's no hotels to generate the hot funds. So that is performance based, and 50% of what's available in the TERS will go towards the reimbursement. And so I think that's a good deal. But the other two are not performance based, and they just have to build it to receive a reimbursement. And when they actually go in and check if the BCAT value is there, is not scheduled till January 1 of 19. And how it is going to be in January of 19.
Okay. The BCAD is the appraisal district. Okay. We just don't want to use too much jargon because people won't necessarily follow that. But anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
If by 19 it's not to the level, the level that we established, to $15 million, then the reduction, if it's 10% reduction, that's when it'll start being reduced. But until then, they'll be still getting the full reimbursements. So they will, the taxpayers won't be necessarily have a choice if there's a dime written or not, because there will be, as long as they build it. And not till 19 will they see a reduction if the value's not there.
Okay. Do you have a blog or anything?
No. And and I also want to mention it is September 11th.
Uh-huh.
And going on right now, the firefighters are doing the memorial stair climb in honor of all the brave men and women who are in firefighting and law enforcement. And I also want to mention that the fiscal year 2015 tax rate is staying the same as 0.62999 per $100 valuation, but because the city will realize more property tax revenue, state law requires the city to call it a tax increase, even though the tax rate is staying the same. And the fiscal year 2015 budget to be supported by that tax rate includes 6 new firefighters and 3 additional police officers, plus new equipment for both departments. And I want to add that the September 26th and 27th, Texas Reds is coming on. So I encourage any and everybody to come out. That's a great event. And let's get everybody come out so we can really enjoy the beef and berries.
There you go. Got it. All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you coming in this morning. That's Rafael Pena. He's the single member District 2 representative. And we visit with folks from College Station, Brian, on Thursdays.